All right. Good evening, everyone. And thank you so much for joining us here tonight. Christy Aphrodite here on the Christy Aphrodite Show. Being streamed only on Ocelli Radio Network. And by the way, I want you to check it out, ocelli.com. I may have mentioned before I'm not technically savvy, but I promised I wanted to give out other ways for people to listen and such. But first off, you know, we have a few other hosts on the network, so not just Chuck, which precedes me from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, but on Fridays, we also have Aaron Franz, that's Age of Transitions, and then Uncle, the podcast, which is Aaron and Uncle, and we're adding a few other hosts as well. But if you go to ocelli.com, you can check out all the archives for everyone. And you can use the search bar for specifics as well. And different ways to listen and such. So don't worry if you don't get a live one, right? Because they all are going to go to, like, Ocelli's YouTube, the TuneIn, Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher, Spreaker, and other apps like that. So for those of you joining us in the text chat, that's ChristyAphrodite.com. Just click on Listen Live and Chat and come join. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to give us a call at 720-740-9229. That's 720-740-9229. So, and my schedule, again, I just want to remind everyone, this whole house thing is still up in the air. I could leave any time. I could get word any time. I honestly don't know. So if I'm not here, well, this is what I need to say. So all the shows, upcoming shows, are posted at the site at ChristyAphrodite.com. So if you just click on Christy Aphrodite Show, and then right underneath that is upcoming shows, and then all archives. So that will tell you the dates on the upcoming shows. But if I'm not moving, then my normal schedule would be Monday through Friday. And that's 10 p.m. Eastern till midnight or whatever, because I'm learning to push buttons. And if there's nobody behind me, I can take the show as long as I want. So yay! And I want to thank you all for choosing to spend your time here. I am really happy to be back where I belong, and yeah, it's pretty much the only place I can talk without somebody trying to lock me up. So yay. All right. With that being said, we have so much to talk about. Holy smokes. And I usually don't research before shows because I want it to be spontaneous. But the truth is, you know, I don't pay attention to news and propaganda and things like that often. But once in a while, it's important because the topic tonight is the greatest lie ever sold. And what is that greatest lie ever sold? Now, in my opinion, it's a multi-billion dollar a year industry that promotes disease, which also, by definition, counts as terrorism. And we'll get into that, by the way, because by definition, they clearly define what terrorism is. So, you know, I want to talk about that, like why people are getting sicker today, revisit, you know, how effective are vaccines really? And of course, the big thing going on right now in everybody's mind is the coronavirus. Is it the next doomsday scenario we should worry about? But most importantly, how can we protect ourselves? Because I don't want to spread fear, and I am not in any fear at all. But I do want to be able to show all sides of what's going on and what they, the experts are saying, because we do need to be aware. We don't need to be in fear, but we do need to be aware. And as always, no matter what dis-ease that's put out there for us, or that we choose to acquire based on our own lack of self-responsibility through diet and lack of exercise and things like that, Mother Nature does always provide a cure, and not just a cure that you have to go on this big multi-trillion-dollar hunt for, but many cures that are already there and most likely in your front yard. So with that being said, our special guest tonight is just like you and me. She's just a normal, beautiful angel, but don't tell her I said that. And I mean, she's a woman that cares a lot about what's going on in the world and has a lot of personal experience. She used to be one of the biggest cheerleaders for big pharma and vaccines. And then she kind of learned along the way through personal experience that something isn't right and stepped into the integrative medicine world, which I'm not going to tell her story for her. She's going to share that with us, but she does have some experience as a teacher, and although she may be a little nervous, we're going to be gentle with her and hopefully, let her remember what a great, knowledgeable teacher she is. So, Savannah, thank you so much for being here tonight. How are you?
Oh, I'm beyond flattered. You're so funny. I really am passionate about this subject, though, so thank you for having me on. I love being able to teach, and if I can help one person wake up, yay, that makes my day.
And I think you have. Yeah. So you probably have made a few days for yourself in the future, right? You got some in the bank?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I'm an empath, so whenever anybody's hurting, it's like, oh, let me help you, let me fix you, and I'm beyond that now, but let me take a deep breath, get my nerves under control.
After all these years, every night is like my first time anyways. So we're just talking on the phone to cool people, really. That's how I look at it.
Exactly.
And women, well, when we get
obvious.
Together,
I know they're cool.
Right. And when women get together, we can talk. So there's like no problem with, I think we got all the bases covered. We just have to forget that anybody's listening, and if they are, they're naked and probably insecure about whatever they're going through anyways. Okay, so I want to ask something before we get started, because I want to make sure everyone can hear you, but on the text chat it said your volume was too low and I hit some buttons, so I want to see if that resolved the issue or not. So if you want to sing the alphabet for us, then they can
sing
let
the
us
alphabet.
Know.
Okay. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like hepatitis, which was made on Plum Island using orphan children.
All right.
Can you tell me now? Oops.
Wow. All right. So I'll wait. There might be a little delay on the stream. So, okay. Yep. He said it was better. Okay. So
awesome.
Now that I know
good.
Everyone
good
can
good.
Hear us, again, you can go to ChristyAphrodite.com, click on listen and chat, and join us if you have any questions or comments. But all right. So I kind of alluded to your history. And what makes this topic such a passion for you? So can you kind of paint us a little background, a little picture about your background and what made you more from big pharma cheerleader to, maybe we better look at what's really going on here.
Oh, absolutely. I was a dork growing up, probably still am considered a dork, but when most girls my age in fifth, sixth grade were reading Little House on the Prairie and Secret Garden. I was reading William A. Nolan, M.D.'s books, Making of a Doctor, A Doctor's World, The Making of a Surgeon, The Surgeon's World. And in fifth grade, I said to myself, I'm going to be a doctor. And that was the trajectory of my life until I got married. And the one medical school that accepted me was out of the country. And my husband said he wasn't going to move. And so I ended up in the periphery as a medical transcriptionist. And the body, the human body fascinated me. Cellular biology was amazing to me. All these little virions, these little beasts that could affect the body so horribly, and the white coats on their white horses coming to save everybody, the Marcus Welbys and the, you know, all those doctors that are the medical deities. And I just, that's what I wanted to do. My very first job was at a nursing home. And it was really hard work, and it was very sad. And I decided, working around old sick people is hard. I'd rather prevent the suffering than have to fix them once they're broken. I ended up working at a world-renowned Cooper Clinic. It is where a lot of the movie stars and the heads of state go to get checked out from head to toe. It's a day-long physical. You start out with fasting blood work and a treadmill stress test, and you get radiologically looked at from every angle. You can get a bone densitometry where they look at your bone density, or how much calcium buildup you have in the coronary arteries, or just your mammogram, everything and anything. They even did limited scopes, and afterwards you could go to the doctor, sit and go over those results, and the doctor would spend a half an hour to 2 hours with you, after which I, as a transcriptionist, would compile all that data and type it, and those reports would be anywhere from 2 pages to 20 pages long. President Bush and Shrub used the Cooper Clinic as their go-to place, and you would see lots of famous people. I was in heaven working there because, number one, I was an aerobics instructor, and this campus was exquisite, and he is the father of aerobics. Dr. Kenneth Cooper invented or coined the term and had the world's largest database of treadmill stress tests, you know, what happened to the heart when you stressed it. And so it was really a cool environment. And as an employee, I got to partake of all the freebies, like vaccines.
What a perk.
You know what I mean? I'm eating organic. I'm working out. I'm in the best shape of my life. And I'm typing these reports, and everybody's getting their flu shot and their pneumococcal vaccine and tetanus updates. And, well, gosh, you know, getting that for free and, you know, and stay healthy. So I took those vaccines.
So you're working in a clinic that promotes self-knowledge and awareness and integrative and, you know, even natural health in some cases, but they're giving you vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Well, and that, and they're radiating everybody every single year. People would pay $3,000 for this comprehensive exam and get their mammograms and their, you know, just,
wow.
You should be glowing by the time you leave. And as an employee, I got all that, too. And one day, I got a mammogram, a hip x-ray, a bone densitometry, an EBT CT scan, which is a fast scan of your heart. And those CT scans have as much radiation as 400 mammograms. Or
well,
chest x-rays, excuse me.
Savannah.
400 chest x-rays.
It did work because you are absolutely glowing. Not in the radiation way, but you are a glower, so
I'm a glow. Okay,
it benefited you.
I guess the four years in bed did too. All that rest I caught up on. I had my own business at one time, and I was working 80 to 100 hours a week. Every week for 6 years, and I'm sure that had something to do with the reason I was susceptible to the vaccine damage. I don't know if I have the MFTHR gene or not, but in my age group, we only got 4 to 6 vaccines as a kid.
Right.
And yeah. And so I it wasn't like I was going and, you know, oh, the bird flu, 1976, let me get in line and you know, buy the hype then. The hype, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. People's memories are so short. We go through this every single year. It's a new boogie bug, you know? It's some scary creature that they've created in a lab and roll out. So
anyway, I'm kind of leaning.
I ended up with this really funky condition. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. You, please.
Okay. I ended up with this funky condition where my feet don't sweat, and they would swell, and they would burn, and they would blister and peel. They would ache and cramp. It was like stubbing my toe. You know that when you stub a toe and you're like, oh, this is the worst pain, but I know in 5 minutes it'll be gone. That kind of intense pain, all 10 toes, all the way up to my knees, every day, all day, for 4 years straight. It was horrific.
Wow.
And some people develop paralysis. Some have demyelinating conditions where their whole body cramps. It's, Anyway, I am not sure which of the 3 vaccines that I took did this to me. It could have been the combination of all 3. But after nobody could give me any answers, I started looking into alternatives. It's like, you know, the only thing different in my life, the only thing that I'm doing differently is I took these vaccines. There's nothing in my family history that's even remotely close to this, so it's not genetic.
Well, because they didn't have vaccine damage. Like, pretty much everyone who is ill with something today does.
Well, exactly. Every single autoimmune condition can be traced back to an exposure and most usually vaccinations.
Absolutely. Even diabetes. And I just want to say the research is there. And when I write my articles on ChristyAphrodite.com, I use always mainstream source of information.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm posting like the screenshots and the links from PubMed and such. And they even said, like in 1994, they knew or they published their first report on causal relationship between several vaccines and autoimmune disorders. But, you know, it's kind of interesting that it's the vaccinated countries that are suffering from these diseases. But they say unequivocally the flu vaccine and Guillain-Barre, or however you are supposed to say that, also between the HBV vaccine and multiple sclerosis, also proven to cause diabetes. Like, and all that stuff is there. I'm going to post this link in the text chat for people who want to see with their own eyes, but this isn't a conspiracy theory. These are actual facts, and that's why we're raising the question. I mean, in today's society, we're so technologically advanced, and we've dumped trillions of dollars over the decades and all of these race for the cures and all this research and with this and paying more for medical services, more for drugs, more for mandatory insurance. And what's happening? We're getting sicker. And there is nobody that can actually walk outside and look around and deny that. And it was a couple years ago when I did research for something else, it was like 70% of Americans were on a regular, on a daily pill. Daily.
Mm-hmm. Oh, at least 70. And not just one. When I transcribe or edit these medical reports, people my age are on 20 25 different drugs. And I look at the list and I think, well, if you weren't taking this, you wouldn't need to take that.
Right.
You could probably skinny it down to next to nothing.
Right.
But
I went through that.
It's a beautiful business model.
Right. And I just want to see, we're not judging anyone if you're going through that, or I went through that. I think Savannah said she did. In my 20s, I was literally falling asleep at the dinner table, side-swiping cars. I was on so many pills, I couldn't see. I had to wear diapers, okay? Like, So we were there.
Yeah.
We were all programmed by the same system. So there's nothing wrong with believing what you're told as a child, but, you know, one good thing about the advent of technology is that there are places we could go to find anything out. So, you know, if you're not sure of something, just Google the ingredients. And I'm going to bring up some of the ingredients of common vaccines just because maybe there's people that still don't know. But you brought up earlier that you only had like 6 vaccines when you were growing up. So in 1950.
At the most, yeah.
Yeah. And I don't remember how many.
In the 1960s. Yeah, I'm almost 60.
There was 3 in the 50. In 1950, there were 3. And then in 2007, there were 23. Okay, this is in 2007. And for 15.
32.
Well, that's what I had, but it was totaline 72 live bacterial and viral components by the age of 6. But now, I think it's 72 in the mandatory vaccine schedule. Isn't that right? Be up till 18 years old?
But yes.
Wow.
Yes.
72.
Yes. It's insane.
How is that
it's
normal?
Yeah.
How is that acceptable? Like, who? I mean, you have to, like, question, like, everything else in nature is fine, and they don't need man-made interventions. And what I really don't understand is if we're afraid of these diseases, why are we injecting them directly in our bloodstream with, let me just get back to those ingredients, dog kidney, monkey kidney, horse serum, horse blood, pig blood, calf serum, rabbit brain, chicken embryos, RNA and DNA, including retroviruses, and this includes the SV40 virus from monkeys, which they laugh about causing cancer, okay, that was given to multi-millions of people in the polio vaccine, and that was up into the 60s. Okay, heavy metals, mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and lead, which are proven to cause brain damage and multiple illnesses. Hello, mercury. It is a known neurotoxin. Yeah, like, we know this. It's like this hazardous chemical, aluminum phosphate, glycerin, MSG, phenol, acetone, fecal matter, live bacteria, viruses, fatal cells from calves, and most vaccines contain tissue from human abortions. Like, okay, yeah. So we're afraid of disease, but we're going to put all of that.
Formaldehyde and aluminum and polysorbate 80 and chemicals or cleaning agents and glyphosate. Yes,
right.
I have glyphosate.
Right. And then we need urine, blood, pus, or feces that we collected from a sick person or animal to grow the virus in a lab. Like, who thinks this is normal? You guys laugh at urine therapy, but then you go to the store and you buy somebody else's urine in your cream. Or get a prescription, or have things like this injected into your bloodstream. So, look, I'm not laughing because, you know, we're doing something wrong, because we all did. But again, we did not know. We did what our parents and doctors, we didn't have a choice. We could not say no when we were a child, but now we can. And again, I don't want to focus on how terrible it is, even though it's important to know, because we are going to talk about things that we can do to improve our condition. So, yeah, like, I'm kind of embarrassed sometimes when I think back that I didn't look into that.
Well, and me too. Don't you look at the ingredients in the food you put in your mouth? I mean, you'd think
right.
Most people do. I know that most people that are pro-vax are not really into looking at the ingredients. They really don't care. Oh, the FDA wouldn't approve it if it were dangerous. Well, the FDA is a vaccine manufacturer. They patent how many? I mean, 50% of their income is from the vaccines that they sell.
Wow. And so in some cases, yeah. Fours. Yeah. I just found out today, right before the show, that right near you, down in San Antonio, they're quarantining one guy, of course, or whatever, on, Lackland Joint Military Base. But actually, not one. There were 91 they're referring to as evacuees from Wuhan that I guess are also supposed to be isolated there. What do you think about
that?
Well,
they brought Ebola back too, you know. Last year it was Ebola, remember, in Dallas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think that's really crazy.
Year.
I don't remember the year either, but what I think is so crazy about that and just appearing on a military base right now is because last night when I was doing some research from shows I did back in 2007, I came across a letter has the Congress of the United States, House of Representatives, you know, March 24th, 1997. And it says, encloses the information you required pertaining to the Army's, the image is small because I had to turn it into a JPEG so I could post it on Facebook, and guidance for establishing the internment camps. And so what's interesting about that, it's they're confirming, and I hope this can be of use, but the Army here is confirming that they're making these camps. Then they put out the article about the one person in San Antonio and then going to house the other 91 more. And then the article about Stratcom that came out saying that, oh yeah, they have all these camps, right? You know, don't worry, but, you know, we're here to protect you, you know, just in case you need it.
Well, if you look at the history, I mean, every single year there's a fear campaign, and it's been going on since the advent of vaccines, literally. There have been anti-vaxxers since the day they rolled them out.
Right,
and,
right.
The Spanish flu, you know, they call it a flu, but they didn't even discover DNA until 1934. So they couldn't see viral particles with the microscopes that were available then. And what they did was they started injecting the soldiers going to World War One with everything. And they came down with everything that they had at the time. So the war was too short. They had this back pile of vaccines that were going to spoil, and these soldiers were coming home sick after being exposed to new gases and chemical warfare overseas. And plus, a lot of them, more soldiers died after they got vaccinated on U.S. soil than they did in Europe during the war.
Right.
So the Spanish flu was not even a flu. It was a vaccine-caused pandemic. Every country that received the vaccines and distributed them came down with the Spanish flu. The ones that didn't, like Greece, they didn't have any cases of the Spanish flu because they declined the vaccines.
Mm. And amazing how that
those
works.
Those that did have the illness, whatever you want to call it, those that went to the allopathic hospitals, 80% of them died. Those that went to the homeopathic and naturopathic hospitals, because there were as many back then as there were the allopathic, they were treated with sunshine and you know, solariums and herbs and homeopathy. 95 of those survived. People that worked in cinnamon factories never got sick, even if they were injected. The cinnamon protected them. There's so many things that will protect you against these bugs.
Definitely.
And back then, you know, like polio. Well, they eradicated polio. The only cases of polio now are vaccine-induced.
Oh, well, let me, I want
since
to...
Since 1980.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even, okay, even on, like, there's no evidence, even on the CDC, that prove that any vaccine has ever decreased the incidence of any illness. In fact, their own numbers show that vaccines actually caused the outbreaks of the very diseases that we've been told they're supposed to protect us from. And again, mm-hmm. So if we're afraid of these diseases, where is the disconnect in our willingness to inject them directly into our bloodstream? And diseases, like you said, that had almost, if not completely, eradicated themselves. Like, the death rate from polio was already decreased 90% before the vaccine was even introduced. And what, a very tiny population?
It's a waterborne disease. You can't even catch it from anybody else.
Yeah.
You got it from drinking dirty water. So a vaccine to prevent a spreadable disease, well, it wasn't even transmissible from person to person. It was a waterborne disease. Now they just changed the name to Guillain-Barré or
right.
Pan-sclerosing encephalitis or, I mean, they're all attacking the neural system.
Right. And I'm not sure if you've done a lot of research on West Nile viral encephalitis, but I had to. And
yeah.
That seems to be a cross between the West Nile virus and polio. And let me tell you, symptoms were the same. And let me bring up something else. The polio virus and the West Nile virus are stored in the same warehouse, in the same location. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. How does that happen? And, you know, whatever. It's supposed these mosquitoes fly from Africa to Israel to New York to Texas to South Dakota. Like, you know, they had to take a swim, of course. They got into that building somehow to swim in those vaccines and then go out and just randomly bite a few people here and there.
Yeah, that one was one of the more successful campaigns that they unleashed on us. I know more people that were affected with that particular virus than any of the other scary bugs that they've rolled out year after year. Now,
right.
Let me ask you this question. Why would there be a vaccine called a Chimervax?
Yeah, wow.
A Chimervax. It's a cross between Japanese encephalitis and yellow fever.
Wow.
And it says, if you go to the website, Sanofi Pasteur, that it was genetically modified, spliced together in 1993.
Right.
Okay, they produce the vaccine and then they unleash the bug. And then they roll out the sales campaign, and it's what they do every single year. So when we're talking about coronavirus, well, you know, there might be something to it, but people are dropping dead in China before this virus.
Allegedly.
The city in which it, seriously, it's one of the most polluted cities in China. Mm-hmm. It's a lung disease. The pollution there is insane. People drop in the streets just from the pollution.
Right. Yeah.
The dirtiest water on the planet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and the numbers that they keep updating us with, oh, there's 40,000 that are confirmed with the virus and 800 have died. Well, they tell us every year that 36,000 people die of the influenza here.
Exactly.
Oh, now all of a sudden that number's up to 80,000.
How many people committed suicide?
All of a sudden, magically.
Yeah, 30,000. You know, like... A day? Yeah.
How many people die of heart disease? 1,100 a day.
Yeah. And then they're making a big deal. Oh, my God, there's one confirmed case in California and one confirmed case. And it's like, why are we hearing about that? How many children are sent home from school? across the country, but we hear of all the children in school in this entire country on the news is this one person. It's confirmed. We have to come up with a plan.
Who, you know, died of the flu, who incidentally was given the flu shot or was given Tamiflu, which has listed as an adverse reaction possibility of death. No, that's not the reason. It's the flu. It's the bug.
Right.
So they'll roll that into the number. When the, I guess it was the H1N1 was the big scare of the year. I forget which year. Probably 2011.
Who knows? It's a different one every year.
The CDC stopped counting. And that's the year that they said all of a sudden there were 80,000. But they didn't even, they stopped testing. They stopped counting.
Wow.
So anything that they say is probably a lie or made up,
For reals. Okay, so you brought up biological warfare. I'm not sure if that's the term you used, but I've definitely used it, and I also use the word terrorism. And I just want to read to you a definition of terrorism that, okay, so this is on PubMed.gov, okay. And, so it goes on, the United Nations definition of terrorism describes it as an anxiety-inspiring method of repeated violent action employed by semi-clandestine individual, group, or state actors for idiosyncratic, criminal, or political reasons, whereby, in contrast to assassination, the direct targets of violence are not the main targets. Okay, then, Department of Defense defines it as the unlawful use of violence or threat of violence, often motivated by religious, political, or other ideological beliefs to instill fear and coerce governments or societies in pursuit of goals that are usually political. You know, there's several, like up at the top, they say terrorism is the intentional use of indiscriminate violence to create fear and terror as a means to achieve ideological, financial, religious, or political aim. It is often used against non-combatant targets. Okay, so that means the people. And terror tactics may include biologic, chemical, nuclear, or explosive. So they talk about bioterrorism. It's the intentional release of biological agents to cause illness or death in humans, animals, or plants. These agents may be bacteria, fungi, toxins, or viruses. They may be naturally occurring or human modified. The agents are typically found in nature, but they may be altered in a laboratory to increase their resistance to antibiotics and ability to spread in the environment. Biological and chemical agents may be spread through the air, food, or water. Terrorists use biological agents because they are often difficult to detect and illness onset may be delayed for hours to days, increasing dispersal. Bioterrorism agents are a common choice for terrorists. Okay, so I'm just going to end it there. You get the idea. And all these links, again, are posted in the show write-up at ChristyAphrodite.com. So you can read them all with your own eyes. But the FBI's, the Department of Defense, the United Nations, FEMA, the U.S. Code of Federal Regulations, and other agencies define terrorism as what they are actually pushing on us. So if chemtrails, hello air, or they mentioned plants and animals, hello Monsanto, glyphosate, like everything else that's going on, the things we're talking about, I mean, it says it may be created in a lab and may be dispersed upon populations, like, who are the terrorists? Instead, we're supposed to worry about, you know, some people 5,000 miles away, maybe, or some white guy, you know, hanging out around the corner who's going to shoot you up because he's racist and a pedophile. But by definition, the actual terrorists are the ones creating and modifying these diseases and forcing them upon us and using their fear tactics that they describe to get us all to run out and willingly inject ourselves with these biochemical agents.
Oh, well, not willingly anymore. They're going to hold us down and force us to do it.
For our own good, though. So how is that not terrorism?
Yeah.
And then there's another one of a university report that I put in there. And they were actually, the whole thing is about, it's an overview on potential agents that can be used or that they have used and tested as biological terrorism. So they actually brought up, so they talked about mosquito-borne alpha viruses, the Venezuelan equine encephalitis, So they talk about mosquitoes, they talk about ricin being a cytotoxin derived from the beans of the castor plant, and that if you inhale, and, you know, so they talk about all these things, they talk about staph, they talk about the flu virus, rabies, mycotoxins, other fungus, and what other agents did they talk about here? The hantavirus, tick-borne encephalitis viruses, yellow fever, tuberculosis. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute. They're literally telling us what they're unleashing upon us, and still,
well, it's their code of honor. They have to do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's been going on for over 100 years, and we fall for it every single time. I know more and more people are waking up, and that's why they're starting the mandates, because, you know, people used to volunteer to line up and take the flu shot.
Used to.
And every year. Yeah, used to. I can
used
remember 1946
to.
When the swine flu. I did school, hopped on a bus, and me and my girlfriend saw this line wrapped around a building. And we were like, oh, look, it looks like fun. We got in line and stood there for about 10 minutes. Finally asked, well, what's going on? And they said, well, it's a flu shot, dummy.
Yeah, used
I was
to.
Like, oh, no, we're out of here. But people were wrapped around the building voluntarily. Taking this, and more people died of the vaccine than ever died of the swine flu. I think, what was it, like 60 people died of the swine flu and over 400 people died of the vaccine.
Right. Right.
But, you know, even though it's the same thing every single year and they never get the flu shot right, people are always going to be, okay, well, there's that 36,000 people that always die of the flu. And the CDC's own website will tell you it's less than 1,000. What they do is say any flu-like illness or pneumonia is rolled into that number. And most of those
right.
pneumonias are hospital-borne diseases that aren't even viral. They're either bacterial or fungal or caused by aspiration. And so they'll say, oh, that person died of the flu. Or it was the flu vaccine that caused the immune compromise to begin with, and then they put Tamiflu on top of it, and they die. People do not get sepsis from influenza, but you'll read in the newspaper, especially this year, where hundreds of people are dying of sepsis, and they're having to chop off limbs and all that.
Yeah.
That is not from influenza. Influenza is a respiratory illness. It will not cause sepsis unless you are extremely immune compromised. And there's something else in the background, if there's a secondary infection. It's not the flu that's doing it.
I want to know why we have become so fearful of a flu or the common cold or chickenpox. It's not even deadly. It never was deadly. Okay, measles. What else? Like tetanus, for example. There's no test. There's no anything that... no defining characteristics of it, although it has similar characteristics to other diagnoses, but there's no test, but they have a vaccine for it. So how could they even you know, prove that they're vaccinating us for things that, one, aren't deadly, and two, they can't even prove that we have. And then when you look at the tetanus vaccine with formaldehyde and thimerosal, with proven reports in scientific literature, hello, PubMed.gov, go there. It's my favorite book. It should be yours too. But it proves that it causes neurological and emotional problems. In fact, like, I want to talk about some history because I think most people, and recent history, like in our age group, 60s, 70s, 80s. But so in 65, well, that was about four or five, I think, years after Congress passed the Immunization Assistance Act. You know, so obviously they started vaccinating more. Doctors began to encounter a whole new group of neurologically deficient 4- and 5-year-olds. But by 1975, within 10 short years later, activity limited chronic conditions were up by 44%. Okay. Then 80% mental and nervous system problems went up, 80% hyperactivity, so-called behavior disorders, and even drug use, 300%. And check this out. Hearing loss increased by 129%. Then, you know, the rubella vaccine, MMR, has been linked to childhood onset insulin dependent diabetes. The one that everybody thinks that, oh, there is no cure. It's genetic. Well, no, it's, you were poisoned, okay, by biological warfare. But the pertussis vaccine, of course, and you know, a lot of these contain live vaccines like that, also affects the pancreas and induces diabetes. Okay. So like, this is our age group. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a coincidence that a lot of us, most of us, have been diagnosed with autoimmune disorders, diabetes, diabetes insipidus for me, which you probably, I'm sure you're probably the only person I could bring that up to that knows what it is because of your profession. But how rare do they say that is? 1 in 100,000 or more?
Well,
yeah.
Maybe. When I was diagnosed with erythromelalgia, it was 1 in 1,000,000. Now it's 1 in 100,000. And that was, that's only been 15 years.
Wow. And yeah, look at
so
autism.
It's not a, I mean, there is a familial variant of erythromelalgia where it is genetic in Central or South America. And yeah, it can be tested for genetically, but that is only about 10% of the cases now. For something like that to appear in the Middle Ages, they'll say, okay, well, it's got to be a genetic something or other. Well, your genes are blueprints. They're not set in stone. You can turn them on and turn them off. When you start injecting foreign DNA and RNA particles, you become a chimera. You don't know what different proteins are unfolding and refolding and affecting different body systems. Nobody really, really knows. It's the post marketing research. we're the lab rats.
Right.
They'll inject us and then see what happens. It's, they don't test these vaccines for very long. HPV was only tested for 5 years on 100,000 people and or girls. And
well, testing.
Several of them got dead.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And who's paying for it? And what do we get to hear?
Yeah. The incidences of cervical cancer have increased in those age groups since the rollout of that particular vaccine.
HPV.
That's when I really started researching because our governor at the time.
Yes, I remember because
the mandate.
Right.
Yeah.
And mandated it for girls, then he suggested boys had to do it. And I'm like, wait a minute, you just told us it was to prevent cervical cancer, and I don't know any boys that have cervixes. This was like in 2007 and 8. I remember that fight well, because I was screaming just the same, blah, 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 I'm screaming now.
Well, Merck was lining his pocket, so yeah, of course he was going to push it. And then forever and for always, oh, no, you shouldn't get any vaccines when you're pregnant. Now they're pushing it on pregnant women. They're pushing flu vaccine on children between the ages of 6 months and 18 months. Pregnant women between the ages of 18 and 26 years, it's like the entire nation. So what they do, all these drug makers and vaccine makers, they're the ones that set the limits. I can remember when diabetes was defined as anything over 120 nanograms per deciliter of blood sugar. And then it went down, and then it went down. And same with blood pressure. Normal used to be 140 over 90. Well, then it was 130 over 80. Now it's 120 over 70, and they want to make it even lower.
Right.
Problem is, not everybody can withstand blood pressure that low. In my nursing home, if someone had a blood pressure that low, they were falling over and breaking hips because, you know, they didn't have enough blood pressure to perfuse their organs. You know, their kidneys would go. So
I'm really glad you brought that up because they want us to believe that the higher rates of, like, heart disease, diabetes, et cetera, and disease are due to their better diagnostics. Oh, well, we didn't have that before. And that really stuck out to me when you said that because I watched the World Health Organization live stream today. And it was called, for anyone who wants to see it, and again, all these links are in the show promo at ChristyAphrodite.com, but it's called WHO, who confirms spike in COVID-19 cases. And that was something that I wrote down some key things that he shared because they really stood out to me. And that was actually the first thing I wrote down, that this confirmation and the spike of these new cases are due to their newer, better diagnostics. Yeah.
Well, and then John Rappaport just said, well, the test was useless for the coronavirus.
Weren't they telling us it's just a cold?
What? Oh, yeah. The coronavirus is a cold. Yeah, you know, I can remember people talking about, okay, well, Ebola, yeah, that's scary. Watch them try to make the cold scary. And they've done it.
Yeah.
And the rhinovirus are the two viruses responsible for the common cold.
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Like, when has a society, or when did this society become so afraid of, like, a normal, basically, you know, really, to me, a cold or a flu is a reminder that you're not taking care of yourself. And a guest I had on my show maybe 10 years ago, he said, you don't catch a cold, you earn it. And I truly believe that because I only get
really
sick
true.
When I run myself down. And most of the time, it's knowingly. So when I take care of myself and nourish myself half as good as I take care of my car, right? Proper fluids, nutrients, etc. I don't even know the last time I had a cold or a flu. I have no clue. And I'm diagnosed with alleged 6 different autoimmune disorders. So I'm allegedly immunocompromised. Yet I never catch any of these so-called viruses.
Well, and I don't really either. Now, when I wasn't taking such great care of myself, I thought eating healthy choice was a healthy choice.
It says it is. It says so.
I would get sick in October and be sick through January. It started as a head cold and go into my sinuses and down into my bronchioles and turn into pleurisy and pneumonia and all that junk, you know, every single year. But then I was also living on soy because, you know, that's healthy.
Of course.
Was buying the Western model of preventive health, too. I mean, even that is a bunch of BS.
I was a nutrition major. So, yeah, aspartame is good. Food cut, you know, they wouldn't approve it if
the vaccines aren't the only thing. The vaccines aren't the only thing. It is definitely multifactorial because of all the garbage that's in our food. The genetically modified organisms destroy the gut biome, and that's 70% of our immune system. Same with the vaccines, the adjuvants and the antibiotics. A lot of them have antibiotics in the vaccine. Those destroy the gut biome. When Dr. Andrew Wakefield, who was crucified for just mentioning that as a pediatric gastroenterologist, he saw that these autistic children had gut issues. That's all he said. He was not anti-vax or anything. He just reported what he saw in his clinical practice, that these children, and I type it all day, every day, these autistic kids have brains that are on fire and guts that are on fire, and it's horrifically painful, and that's why they try to distract themselves by banging their head and screaming. And I mean, they're in agony.
Yeah.
They're in agony. So, I don't know where I was going with that, but it is multifactorial. If
right.
you look at the artificial colors and the artificial flavors, the artificial sweeteners are neurotoxic.
Mm-hmm.
They excite your brain cells to death.
Right.
So, yeah, it's I attribute most of everybody's brainwashing to television.
Absolutely. It's, greatest weapon ever unleashed upon mankind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, all these movies where the pandemic has wiped out civilization and someone came up with the vaccine to cure us all. I mean, people buy that.
Even though it was the vaccine that caused it.
Exactly. But, you know, vaccines are nothing but a guess, and studies have shown that most of the guesses are wrong. So even virologists at the FDA state there's no evidence any influenza vaccine has been effective, but the producers are going to make the vaccines and sell them anyway. And most people who die from the flu already suffer from a chronic illness, and the vaccine would not have helped them. And a recent study reported that if they looked at the death rates from the flu before the flu vaccine program and after, it didn't. The incidence of flu deaths had not changed despite being vaccinated. It did not increase lifespan at all. But, you know, even the doctors, they're brainwashed to believe the mantra.
So, right.
Safe and effective, and that's all they know. Ask them what's in it. They don't know.
Right.
They don't know.
Yeah. That's kind of scary, actually. And, you know, I don't think doctors are like trying to kill us, you know, they don't really know, but they do get paid, for every almost vaccine they give, you know, they want to meet certain numbers.
Same thing. Yeah. If you look at the Blue Cross Blue Shield, bonus schedule, yeah, for every, practice with 400 people, if you can vaccinate at least 89% of them, then you get a bonus. So that whole bonus could be riding on one child's head.
And these bonuses are more than probably everyone who listens to this show, you know, has ever made in a year.
Sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they've known for a long time, and I just want to point out, like, all of these images and screenshots, PDFs, links I'm using are from PubMed or CDC or, you know, accepted mainstream sources. But since the 40s, they were realizing that children injected with pertussis vaccine, which is now part of the DPT or DTaP shot, they were having trouble maintaining normal glucose levels in their blood. And lab research had already confirmed that the vaccine caused diabetes in mice. But through the 60s, 70s, and 80s, as research progressed, they observed that, or they thought that it was possible that it was a viral infection being a cofactor in causing diabetes. So when they introduced the live virus vaccine, such as MMR, which is basically made from measles, mumps, and rubella, they started to raise questions about the vaccine virus being the cofactor in causing the chronic disease. But another study in the 80s demonstrated that after the rubella vaccination, the rubella virus can persist on a vaccinated person for years. So,
decades.
And they also For people who don't know, diabetes is actually categorized as an autoimmune disease. Okay, and I don't think that's really common knowledge, but these are their own words. This is their own, you know, this is what they're telling us. So they're telling us that vaccines cause autoimmune and cause diabetes. yeah, we're doing it. and we're doing it over diseases that don't even exist anymore. So this is what I want to know. The FDA, the PubChem.gov, and any expert, basically, who matters, tell us, they warn us that lead, mercury, and cadmium are all toxic, even at low levels. Yet all three of them are contained in vaccines. And when you look at the schedule, right, that too. Like, they tell us that. So why do we accept it being injected into our bloodstream?
Because most people really don't know. And they'll buy the brainwashing that, oh, formaldehyde, well, you can find that in a pear or an apple. But you're not injecting the formaldehyde, you're ingesting it. And ingesting it and injecting it are two entirely different mechanisms. Also with these vaccines, they don't give any protection after 3 to 5 years, so you've got to keep getting boosters. If you catch the wild version of the disease, you'll never catch it again. You don't have to worry about it. And in fact, it's training the immune system. They have discovered that the measles itself is cancer protective.
Wow.
So these diseases, these childhood diseases that really are self-limiting, which means that they'll resolve on their own without any sequelae unless, of course, the child is malnourished. Measles can be ameliorated by vitamin A, for example. So when measles was causing havoc, you know, across the pond, they were shipping vitamin A to some of the volunteers, and these volunteers were incarcerated. No, you can't give out the cure.
Wow.
we've got to vaccinate everybody.
Right.
But they actually make you more likely to be susceptible to, what am I trying to say? Okay, you're trading an infection, a supplementing infection, for a lifelong disease. And they're calling these infections diseases. They're not. Disease is just a scarier word.
Right.
So the vaccines themselves are more dangerous than any. There's no proof that any of them have helped. Everyone who says, well, I've had my vaccines and I'm just fine. Well, did you have ear infections as a kid? Did you have otitis media? I did. I only had 4 or 6 vaccines as a child, but I had to go to the doctor and get those grommet tubes put in my ears and have them drained and have to be under anesthesia. It was miserable.
Right,
all my
asthma.
Siblings had ear infections.
Terrible.
Yeah,
too.
All the tonsils out, you know, rip out part of your immune system. Your tonsils and your adenoids are part of your immune system.
And then drill out your teeth. And then fill them with mercury, too. Yeah.
Right. Or remove the wisdom teeth.
Right.
Well, guess where the most rich source of stem cells are? It's your wisdom teeth.
Well, 32 teeth, 32 vertebrae, all of the nerve endings that are like 6 feet in each tooth that directly correlate with each of the spine. And that's why people that have had their teeth removed or even root canals and such always have back issues.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I miss the break. So let's hold that. And I mean, yeah, hold that right there. We're going to step away for a few minutes. But we're going to continue this discussion. When we come back, I want to tell you some of the things that I found in that World Health Organization video confirming the spike in the COVID-19 cases. But we are here with Savannah Lynn, the greatest lie ever, or the deadliest lie ever sold, pardon me. So hang on, we'll be back on the other side. The phone number, if you want to call in, is 720-740-9585. 7-20-740-9229. That's 720-740-9229. We'll see you on the other side.
Recent economic crises, stock market crash, budget cuts, raising unemployment, unstable world conditions, the cost of insurance, electricity, petroleum, and taxes of all kinds, we regret to advise you that the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. We apologize for the inconvenience. We now return you to the special broadcast.
How did that happen? Oh, okay. Oh my gosh. All right. I thought I had to save the stream because I was getting all these, okay, messages saying that you couldn't hear. So I'm just going to go back to the break.
What would I do? Revelation through conversation, in a radio show / podcast. You want the good news? Listen to the Ocelli Effect. Chuck Ocelli is the most underrated voice in all media. News, education, and entertainment. The Daily Bread from Ocelli.com. Go there. Save yourself from ignorance. Ocelli.com. But we all agreed to put Ocelli.com on and listen to the Ocelli Effect. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net. This just makes me want to rock it. All right. Thanks so much for joining us here tonight. Christy Aphrodite's show only on the Ocelli Radio Network. That's Ocelli.com. And if you'd like to join us for the text chat, that's over at ChristyAphrodite.com. And the phone number to call in is 720-740-9229. That's 720-740-9229. All right. We're talking about the greatest lie ever sold tonight with our special guest, Savannah Lynn. And, we have a lot to talk about here, and I still want to share some more, but it looks like we have a caller on the line, and I think I know who it is. So let's see, is this our friend Kevin?
Oh, yes it is. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to warn you, I'm on my sixth corona, and I'm feeling lightheaded, and I think I might be coming down with a virus or something.
Like we said before, you don't catch a cold, you earn it.
Yeah, okay. No, I follow both you guys on Facebook, so I know you're very knowledgeable, and I just thought I'd better call in for some advice quick before something happens.
I don't know. Are you trying to fill in an old character we may have used to have on the show that would call in with asking for advice on alleged prank call jokes? Or
Yes. Do you think I'm ready for my stand-up routine? No, maybe not.
You're getting close. I'm hearing, that must be you. I'm hearing like chat sounds or something in the background.
Oh, yeah. I can't mute that. I can mute you, but I can just turn down the volume. Yeah,
oh, okay. Well, actually, no, there is a place in the chat box on the bottom right, underneath where you type on the bottom right, just...
I got it.
Killer. All right, cool. So what do you have for us?
Well, I don't have much because, like you say, I'm like you. I don't really waste my time researching this stuff anymore because, I mean, What if I wasted so much time on Zika, you know, and my head shrink, you know, just spending all my time, you know, worrying about Zika. So I just thought, you know, I'm just waiting for the big one to just kill me. So, but
nice.
I did look at this doctor, this supposed whistleblower over in China, and just looking at his story, I don't know if Savannah has looked at the story of the whistleblower and how he died and.
I don't think he died of the flu. I think he was silenced.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you, if you don't mind. I mean, since we're, you know, we kind of talked about the fact that I don't get vaccinated from flu shots and I never get a flu. Do you get flu shots, or have you, or know anyone, or when is the last time you had a flu, or anything like that?
No, no, and no. I don't get the flu shot. I can't remember ever getting the flu shot. I can't remember getting. I remember one traumatic vaccination that I got when I was a child that was called the Batman vaccination, and just haunts me to this day. It was like loud. It was like a machine sound, and my mother was even traumatized about it. And, you know, so as a child, I don't even remember getting vaccines except that really nasty one. And
Batman?
I still have the mark on my arm from that.
Are you messing
so,
with us?
I don't know what that was all about.
Batman. Oh, the one in the scar on your that everybody got up until I think 64.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
Batman.
Okay.
I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, a lot of people have had issues.
But no, I don't get the flu vaccine, and I don't get the flu. Imagine that.
Interesting. All right. And what about people in your immediate surroundings? What's it like? Are you around people? Do they fear this, or are they just like whatever? Are they protected? Do they run out and get shots, or what's it like in your reality?
A neighbor of mine recently got the shot, and it's funny to read his Facebook post because he's like, I did what they told me to do just like they said I should, and I've never been so effing sick in my entire life.
You know? Wow.
He's like, and just thanking his wife for being a nurse for like a week, and that I'm sure he went out and got it again, you know.
Wow.
So, but yeah, anybody that's getting it is getting sick.
And they're saying, oh, but just think how much worse it would be if I hadn't gotten the shot.
Right, I'd be dead.
They saved my
that's
life.
That's probably the mentality.
Wow. All right. Well, thanks for sharing that with us and for the humor. Anything else you'd like to share tonight?
No, I have another Corona waiting for me, so I better get back to that.
You know, back in the day, so I grew up on the border, and going to Mexico was a normal thing, and hanging out in the bars, and we didn't actually call it coronavirus then. It was Montezuma's Revenge or Hangover. It was, you know, it was simplified back then. All right. Have a good night.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. That was cute. The Batman. I'm like, wait a minute. Is this something I didn't hear about? But yeah, I know. It did kind of look like that. Like your Batman tattoo on everybody's upper arm.
Not everybody's. My mom didn't want to scar her little baby, so she had mine on my rump.
Oh,
and it grew with me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me share, before I forget, some of the key things. I listened to that video like 3 or 4 times, so you guys don't have to. But if you do want to, it's in the link associated with the show, and it's also where I post the shows on Facebook, Christy Aphrodite page. There's a whole mess of links in the comments there. So, all right. So, the first thing I wrote down, like I told you, and some of these I'm going to say are like literal exact quotes, But, okay, so he started off saying, you know, oh, what do we need? And, you know, the spike of cases, what's the most important thing? And, you know, first they let us know that all these new cases are due to their better diagnostics. But they also said that outside of China, there's only 447 cases in 24 countries, and there have been only two deaths, one in Philippines and one in Japan, which I thought was interesting, especially since the Kevin just brought up the dude that invented, or not invented it, but discovered it. But and then they talked about a cruise ship, 218 alleged confirmed cases in Yokohama in quarantine. And the 218 is included in the 447, according to the speaker at the World Health Organization meeting or whatever, debriefing today. So in preparation for their, or preparing for their immediate needs is, again, he raised the question, or the necessity for better diagnostics, for quicker decisions, he said. And how we can reach that is through more and expanded and expedited clinical trials. He also mentioned the use of some of our standard antivirals that we use for MRSA and SARS, or anti-HIV drugs. And just kept stressing the importance about how we need to be quicker to find out, and quicker to rush these tests to see which of these drugs are actually working. So yeah, accelerate, expand. And then, of course, the next topic he brought up was vaccines. And the necessity for new drugs. Also, they want to expand their overreach to more household and community studies to test the general population of people so that they can discover exactly how big this epidemic is. And they're developing serology testing that they would hope to be able to expand to households and communities everywhere, and necessitated the need for not just them, but also the states, how they need to take a risk to make the best decision. And although they have no known vaccine, that it is of utmost importance for us to use them anyways, so we can find out which might work, or what we have to create and throw out there really quick. So his exact quote was, states must take the risk to advance these policy decisions. And then emphasized the necessity to advance our social science and service reach. And the next, and probably one of the most, the most important thing he said, as he was talking about vaccines and the need for home outreach and community outreach and advance of social science, is that we need a vaccine against misinformation as well. Exact quote.
Well, you know, they're censoring anything about coronavirus on Facebook, which I find interesting.
Wow!
If you type just coronavirus into the search bar on Facebook, all you will get are the WHO and the HIS and all the mainstream information sources.
Nothing, but they tell
about,
on themselves.
Posts from any of your friends.
Even if that's...
Pardon?
Right. That I have noticed that. But even though they're only giving us their sources, they're still telling on themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I put
oh,
all
yeah.
of those
oh, yeah.
links in the show write-up, because it just looks like, you know, they're following a script again, and they're setting the script out there for us. And, you know, we could look at it as like a test. You know, are we going to fall for, you know, mass cloning programs through neurotoxins injected in our bloodstream with other diseases under the guise of good health? And in some cases, some people have used the word being a good neighbor. Or are we going to continue to hopefully take responsibility for ourselves? So, we should actually talk about that, because we have kind of talked a lot about some of the dark side. And, you know, it's probably not even dark, really. It's just, I mean, what they're doing is dark. But we don't know, just because that one article in San Antonio says 60,000 globally and 15 in the U.S., like, we don't actually know that. And another thing that the World Health Organization is that they have been watching every single case, and that only eight, are not linked directly to Wuhan. And, you know, before we move into solutions, wasn't there a Dean Koontz novel that, like, named a virus, like, the same as what it is?
Oh, absolutely. Well, what about the get-together with Bill Gates this last summer called something 201, and they handed out little stuffed coronavirus plushie toys? This was back in the summer, so they've been talking about it for a while, and I'm sure there's something on the Illuminati card deck about it.
And there was a cartoon.
Everything.
And then a cartoon,
yeah, cartoon
that had not just the coronavirus, but also Kobe Bryant, like, in the same one.
yeah. So he died in a helicopter crash, right? Uh-huh.
And
yeah,
then there's the virus.
Programming. Yeah, it's ridiculous that people can't see it. It really is.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, is there anything else about this specifically that you think we should talk about before we start talking about solutions?
I think solutions is where we need to go, because everybody, you know, the fear porn's out there. We don't need to add to it. I think the solutions and what to look out for and what to stay away from are probably more helpful, maybe.
Right on. Well, it looks like we have a tour guide from hell in the text chat, so if you want to let us know what it's like down there, please do. And I also just want to let you know, I posted a link that I did not write, but I reposted it on my site for posterity. And this is an article by Georgianne Hughes that was written, I think, over a decade ago. Let me see if the exact...
Actually, it was off her site that I wrote it over a decade ago.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, and this really long and crazy, like some of mine, mm-hmm. with all sorts of, you know, suggestions from her experience on things that you can do to boost your immune system and such, or if you do find yourself with a cold or a flu or, you know, any immunocompromised position. She has lots of great suggestions there. So I put that in the text chat at ChristyAphrodite.com. And I do have a few myself, but let's just talk. Okay, so first of all, I want to know what the climate is like in your area, like your neighbors, your people that you maybe see at the grocery store. Are people paranoid about this, or is everything kind of like normal?
Well, it seems to be pretty normal. I've got some that are calling me a flat earther for my stance on vaccines. Yet when I tell them about a vitamin D hammer for the flu, because that's going around here, just the regular flu, it works for, I've told 16 people and 15 have tried it, and the one that hasn't is still barking and coughing and miserable. So, and the vitamin D hammers is very simple. It's 50,000 international units of vitamin D3, the cholecalciferol. You take it all at once. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt your liver. One-time dose that big is not going to create any damage, because our bodies in a week of moderate sunshine with maybe 20% of our bodies exposed will produce that much vitamin D on its own. So the vitamin D is, look at what they're doing. They're blocking out the sun, and then there are videos coming out saying, oh, vitamin D is rat poison. It'll kill you. I'm like, dude, come on, you're buying this?
Oh, and the sun's poison. The sun's causing cancer and, you know, solar flares and acid rain. You know, fear Mother Nature, but, hey, we got a solution.
Yeah. So that one is simple, and it's a cheap vitamin. Yeah, it's not exactly natural, but given the fact that most people are indoors and the sun isn't shining, and it is quote-unquote flu season simply because there's no vitamin D coming from the sun right now, that works so quickly. My husband was really, really getting sick, and I gave him that hammer, and within 6 hours he was fine.
Right.
And I've never seen anything work that fast. But there are a lot of things. The same thing that you would do for the flu, you would do if you were forced vaccinated. And I have a feeling that's coming.
Exactly.
They've been running drills here in Texas for at least a decade. Right. When I was researching this before, I was like, oh, no. They're setting up clinics in parking lots and vaccinating carloads of people. Well, generally, if you are given a vaccine, the doctor's supposed to at least observe you for a minimum of 10 minutes, preferably an hour, in case there is a reaction. No, they're just going to shoot you and let you go on home.
Yeah.
Shit everywhere.
Yeah.
So, they've been gearing up for just this. And whether it's an actual pandemic or not, they're going to push the fear and use it as a control tool. What better way to roll out the one world government, you know? Oh, look, we've got to lock everybody down. What this coronavirus, whether it is actually the coronavirus that is knocking people down in the streets or not, has destroyed or brought the Chinese economy to a halt. So that's kind of interesting, too.
Terrorism. Oh, wait. It's just nature because there's too many humans. Or global warming.
Yeah, those SUVs are melting the Martian polar caps, too.
Yeah, and somebody pointed out on the chat, and yet the stock market's breaking records. Wow.
Oh, well, it's,
disease, war, that's big business. Yeah, makes
Absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely. So what to do if you are exposed? I mean, simple things that you would do ordinarily is avoid crowds. Keep your kid home if he's got a fever. Wash your hands. Take your vitamins. Drink your water. Eat clean food. Stay away from sugar. Those are real simple things, you know. But if you are forced to get vaccinated, it's the cytokine storm in the vaccine and the actual virus that causes the damage, the inflammation. So that's what you want to focus on is decreasing the inflammation. Dr. Blaylock had written a really cool list back in 2009 when it was the H1N1 scare. And it makes sense to me. If you are, or even if it doesn't matter if it's the flu, you know, whatever vaccination, if your kids have to be forced vaccinated to go to school, whatever, and you can't move from New York and you can't homeschool, what you do, you bring a cold pack and you place it on the site so that you stop the inflammation. It blocks the immune reaction. And then once you get home, you continue using a cold pack throughout the day. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny also talked about bringing lemon and putting it on the injection site immediately afterwards, that actually has a drying effect. Taking a cold shower and continuing with the cold press. Fish oil, omega-3 fatty acids found in fish oil supplements. If you take a high dose of EPA, you're more susceptible to infections because it's a powerful immune suppressant. Well, if you're being injected with foreign DNA, then that's what you want, something that will actually suppress your immune system. So the EPA part of fish oil is really very powerful. and it can tame a cytokine storm. Cytokines are proteins that allow cells to communicate with one another, and if too many are released into the body, then that's what causes the inflammation. The brain has its own immune system, and that cytokine storm released by the glial cells, the microglial cells in the brain, is what causes the brain damage, the autism, the Alzheimer's, all those, you know, they're all related.
Right.
They're all, and especially aluminum plaques, what they find in the brains of the postmortem cases, autism and Alzheimer's, it's the same disease. So to reduce the inflammation, the cytokine storm, things like curcumin and quercetin and, vitamin C. Vitamin C is good for everything.
Of course.
Flavonoids.
And, you know, I just want to say something I've been doing since 2007 is Modifolan. And it has also been proven, alginate is a natural absorbent of radioactive elements, heavy metals, free radicals, etc. So it's been instrumental in my life for detox. So heavy metals, and obviously when it's removing that decreases inflammation. So that's one thing. And I also want to throw out there's rose oil, and specifically Bulgarian rose has been proven to reverse. And you'll have to look at all of these links are on my site and such, so I don't, you know, I'm not reading them or have them in front of me, and so, but they are all from PubMed.gov and proven to reduce the severity of Parkinson's disease and reverse, it said, neurodegenerative effects from heavy metal poisoning. They even talked about studies where people were, poisoned on purpose by aluminum or something like that. And Rose was able to take care of that. And I also want to bring up something that may be growing probably in your front yard that is also, again, more evidence, actual medical evidence that they boost your immune system, and that's dandelions. Like, that weed growing in your yard, there are so many articles about it on PubMed and other medical journals, but they, of course, it's, they have, like, beta-carotene and other antioxidants. It helps regulate blood sugar, reducing inflammation, just like red clover, by the way. But even, of course, scientific, like, proven evidence to even lower blood pressure, weight loss, cancer, and then, of course, boosting the immune system. But there was a study, again, on PubMed. In fact, I'll just put this one link in the chat, but this is, against hepatitis B virus and other things like that. So I want everyone to do their own research, so I'm just kind of putting stuff out there and places for people to look. But, yeah, dandelions are free.
And Mother Nature is so simple, too. The medical community makes everything so complicated and twisted and convoluted that it makes it really hard to know what to do. I tend to talk a lot about vitamins simply because that's where a lot of my experience lies. And yeah, they're not exactly natural, but they're not, if you get a good source, they're not unnatural either.
Right.
But as far as the plants, popping parsley and celery in a blender and drinking 8 ounces, that's very detoxifying. Throw in the dandelion leaves with that and the dandelion roots too. Licorice root is an awesome one for antiviral, antibacterial. Eggarita that's growing all over Texas is a powerhouse. Now, you have to use the root and you have to kill the plant, which is kind of sad, but the leaves and the stems have less of a concentration of those constituents, but works as well too. So you can pick leaves and make a nice tea and be better off than taking the vaccine.
Right.
As far as getting over the flu, you know, it's usually when we get an infection, it's like you said, it's because we haven't been taking care of ourselves. It's getting harder and harder to do because we're being bombarded from every angle, our food, our water, our air, everything. But, you know, the solutions are usually very simple.
Right. I mean, even
and it's
simply
usually something
just,
you've got in your home.
Yeah, totally. You mean lemons, garlic, ginger, you know, but when you see vitamin C, all just increase foods that have high concentrations of vitamin C, right?
Yeah. But Dr. Linus Pauling, who did his work in the 1930s and 40s and who won, I don't know how many prizes, for his research, was using ascorbic acid. Just plain ascorbic acid. It can even be made in China and made from GMO corn, according to Dr. Andrew Saul, who's an orthomolecular PhD, the mega vitamin man. He says that ascorbic acid, and I've found it to be true, when taking in small frequent doses, will cure a lot of different things, especially viral and bacterial infections. So it doesn't matter what kind of C. If you're going for oranges, then eat the peels, too. 40% of the vitamin C is in the peels. But peppers have the highest concentration of vitamin C of any food out there. Just sweet peppers have
peppers.
Probably 400 times more vitamin C than an orange or a lemon or whatever.
Lots of pea foods I'm noticing since you said that, peppers. And so when you say that, I'm like, papaya, pine, pineapple, persimmon.
Yeah,
when I think vitamin C, I think pea. I don't know. Potatoes, you know.
What was your list of everything bad for you? Didn't that start with a P too?
Gosh. Oh, my God. You
like
know
positions.
What?
And
right. I have to bring that up on it. Actually, this might be a good show because if we're talking about saving ourselves, right, and things that can help, I'm gonna look for that actually. P words. What's up with these P words?
I don't know. Oh. But even white tea, you don't want the green or the black tea because it's got natural fluoride in it.
Right.
The tea plant tends to suck it up. But the white tea is very good for abnormal immune reactions. Avoid all those nasty oils like corn, safflower, sunflower, soybean, canola, even peanut. Peanut oil is not good. I mean, it's good for certain things, but when you're fighting a vaccine reaction or a flu, those are the things you want to stay away from.
Right. Yeah.
Can you find your list, your P-word list?
Oh, that'll probably take me a while because I think I'll just have to go to the Facebook page and scroll down until I find it. But, yeah, that's really good advice. And as you know, Kevin called in, you don't have the flu or cold, I don't have the flu or cold. Like, if you make these things part of your life, you're not actually going to have to worry about what if I get this or what if, right? So I think everything we're talking about tonight is a normal part of both of our daily lives, right?
Well, and another thing I didn't mention last hour and I want to bring up is that if you look at the allergies, the excipients in the vaccines, there weren't peanut allergies until they started using peanut oil as an excipient in those vaccines. Mm. Then when they started using aborted fetal cells, you know, they're using pancreas, so there goes your diabetes. Mm. They're using retinal cells, so there goes eye diseases. I mean, kids, the highest cause of mortality of children under six is cancer.
Wow.
Well, and how many vaccines are they getting by the time they're six? Isn't that the 36 vaccines by the time they're six? And they wonder why they have cancer. Well, because of what they're using in these vaccines.
That are already proven to cause cancer, according to their own journals.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the food allergies, the soy, I mean, the fact that it's genetically modified, yeah, but it's also related to peanut. So if you have a peanut allergy, there's a very high probability that you've got a soy allergy too, because they kind of cross-contaminate, but because they're similar, the body will react to both. So,
right.
Anyway.
Yeah, and I think the peanut.
I forgot to mention it.
Yeah, I love nuts, all nuts, and I do use peanut oil, like when I bake very rarely, but plus mold in the peanut. But the truth is, by the time of us get our nuts, they've already, there's a high concentration of mold, especially in peanuts. So
That is a concern. That's not a good one.
Right.
Well, and peanuts and soy, those are legumes. They're not actually nuts. Tree nuts are going to be a little safer and healthier, except for the omega-6, which is inflammatory. So if you're finding inflammation, sometimes you want to stay away from lots of omega-6 fatty acids and stick with the omega-3s. Since fish is probably off my menu for a while, ever since Fukushima and BP oil, I haven't had a whole lot of seafood. Purslane is loaded with omega-3 fatty acids, more so than flaxseed.
Okay, I am so glad.
It's beautiful.
Okay, I have to tell you this. Sorry, I just got so excited when you said that, because there's an article that one of the guest authors on the site wrote, and it's, I mean, not an article or whatever, blog, and it's called An Open Letter to Purslane.
Mm-hmm.
And, I need to post that on the chat, because this gentleman who wrote this, it's so beautiful. I want to share it in a video because it's so beautiful. And I don't want to read the whole thing, but it basically goes like this. He's apologizing to purslane specifically for all the years he was taught that it was bad or poison, and he killed it and chopped it all up. And, and now here we are 50 years later in life, and this beautiful man, like, literally cried when he realized how disrespectful that us humans are programmed to be towards our medicine. And, so he found out that this was, in fact, medicine. And, so I posted that on the chat. Oh, it's called An Open Letter to Purslane on ChristyAphrodite.com, and it's just so beautiful. Thank you for bringing up purslane, because, really, it's beautiful.
I love purslane, yeah.
Yeah. Do you get a lot of that down there?
There, I didn't until last year. I had planted some that was cultivated because of the pretty flowers, and it's still fairly medicinal. But then last year I had some volunteers, and it was glorious. It tastes like cucumbers, and it was prolific, and it's going to be all over my yard this year.
Oh, good.
So every weed is just a plant we don't know the use for. Most of them have a use. I live in this really prickly part of Texas where everything has thorns and stickers and burrs, and I just hate it. And there's this one plant that would drive me crazy when I tried to garden. It's called stick leaf. He hated it. It would stick to my clothes, and nothing would, worse than Velcro. Well, I cut my finger one day, and I didn't want to go into the house to stop what I was doing, so I grabbed one of those leaves and wrapped it around my finger. The bleeding stopped. The pain stopped. It stuck better than the Band-Aid. It was awesome. I'm like, oh, honey, you should. I mean, the plants will talk to you and tell you what they're good for. I love the doctrine of signatures.
Right.
Anyway, that's a whole different topic for a whole other show. But, there are so many cures and remedies that are right in front of us. Just look at what they're trying to kill. All the things that Scott's gardener says is a weed, you might want to investigate that. Every person on Quack Watch that they say is a quack, well, they probably have the answers. Every fact checker post that's on Facebook is probably the truth. They're kind of doing us a favor by leading us in the right direction.
Right, because when they
need to look at
when they put a block on, dude, even my site, ChristyAphrodite.com, is getting that warning. This is fake information or whatever. But again, I'm using all their sources. I'm not just putting words together. I'm using their sources, and Facebook still blocks it. That's so funny.
Exactly. They started blocking Dr. Saul's post, and it's a clinical, it's a quote by a doctor's clinical experience of 30 years with vitamin C and how he's seen what it's done for people, and they block that. It's like, oh, you gotta be kidding. Oh, they're desperate. They're really desperate.
Oh,
and what's sad is a lot of people are like, well, Snopes said.
Snopes.
Okay.
Yeah, wasn't it Snopes that said that fetal tissues were not being used as food flavorings or in vaccines? But, of course, it's come out in complete mainstream media that, in fact, that is true.
It is, exactly, exactly.
Did anybody call Snopes? Oh, goodness. Okay, so I also, I did find the P post, but I'm gonna save that until the end of the show. And you know what? I should probably just put it up on the website because it is funny. And, you know, we could always add more to it. But it's true, though.
And it's true.
And I literally have been thinking about it for years because, you know, and I've used a lot of the P words even in my own videos. I'm like, okay, just stay away from whatever, past, priest, pet, you know, it's pretty easy. But then when I put this out there with a handful, then, you know, other people joined in and then there was another handful and it was like, oh my God, it just turned really fun. But okay, so I also want to bring up essential oils for healing, and I have an article on ChristyAphrodite.com called Nature versus Man-Made Antibiotics, and it's also in the show post. But on here, I also, again, use all 100% mainstream information, PubMed.gov, where they're telling us that oregano or thyme is better than their drugs. Frankincense and myrrh, okay, and again, this is all on PubMed.gov, and I think, we mentioned, like, ginger and such. Echinacea, I don't think we talked about that, or, like, grapefruit seed oil, even, like, raw local honey, or golden seal. You mentioned cinnamon earlier, so, yeah, cinnamon and clove is excellent. You also mentioned licorice root, is that? Yeah. So anise.
That's right. It's,
yeah, anise has similar properties.
Astragalus, that's another one.
Right. Cabbage, even.
Boosting.
Turmeric, cayenne, olive leaf extract. Again, all of this stuff has already been scientifically proven. So when people tell you there's no evidence that these alleged snake oils heal anyone, that's actually not true. And you can find that out from their own source of information. In fact, like, there's this one report, and I'm sure most people who have heard me mention my favorite just basic juice, the carrot, apple, lemon, ginger. And depending on what I can get, I'll add turmeric root, beets, celery, or cucumber. You know, it just kind of depends on what's available, what's in season, what's not. $40 a pound, like the turmeric is sometimes. But there's an actual published report. They're talking about the antimicrobial effects of garlic, ginger, carrot, and turmeric against E. coli. Okay, so again, aren't those scared? Like, we're supposed to be scared of lettuce from a restaurant because of E. coli, right? Like, we get those scares a lot. So again,
here's the thing.
Go ahead.
Here's the thing with all of these bugs. All of the bacteria and virus are in us and on us all the time. And if we're acidic, then they're going to do their job. It's like, oh, you're dying. I must decompose you. So it's not like these bugs are even bad. Now, the ones that are lab created, yeah, they start out bad, but every one of them are going to mutate. And most of the time, they become less transmittable and less horrific as time goes on. It's when you get into the squalor and war-torn countries and fecal matter in the streets, like what's going on in California. And, you know, that's when these diseases make a comeback because you're not taking care of your terrain. It's the Beauchamp versus Pasteur model. So if you're taking care of your body, and it's going to take care of you, you know. And absolutely. Like you said, these diseases are the body's way of saying, well, if you're not going to take care of you, I'm going to have to do it myself, and it's not going to be pretty. It's not going to be comfortable. I remember when my husband, my deceased husband now, but he got this infection and ran a fever for the longest time. It was about a week and a half. He was miserable. He sweat. But for a month and a half, he didn't need his blood pressure medicine.
Wow.
He'd sweat out all the toxins and all the junk that was in his body. And, you know, he was one of those that was, well, if I get hypertension, there's a pill for that. And if I get erectile dysfunction, there's a pill for that. And I'm just like, no, no. And he's gone now. But, and he was young. He died at 61. And, it's, anyway, so.
All right.
You were fond of saying, all pills kill. They do. Right. They really, really do.
Hashtag all pills kill. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you mind going a little bit late? Because it's 9 o'clock already almost. I didn't even notice that. So do you have a little extra time so we can finish up here and I can do the peas? Oh, yay. Okay.
Absolutely. Yes.
So I just posted in the chat an article. Let me see. This is great. I just kind of want to put this out there because it's kind of funny. People have to kind of see how everything's connected. But and this is actually pro mainstream source, and they're talking about how the coronavirus being man-made and patented is a good thing. But oh yay, we have five people between DC and Maryland and Virginia being tested. But hey, don't worry, because we have this really cool firm who is now working on the vaccine to save us from this virus. And the name of that company, I want to ask you if you've heard of it, and I'll put the Wikipedia link here, but it's Moderna. Do you know?
I've not heard of that one, no. But there are so many pharmaceuticals, especially in Maryland. That's like the United States headquarters. There's over 400 level 3 and 4 labs in this country.
Right.
It's ridiculous. They're developing this all the time, not only Plum Island, but all these labs everywhere.
Yeah. Well, what I thought was, there's a lot that's really interesting about them, but they just got this contract to, you know, make this vaccine that's going to save us. They were founded in 2010, and the name was originally written MODRNA. So it was based allegedly on basic science at Harvard, whose lab developed a method to modify RNA transfecting into human cells. And anyways, you can read more about it. But in 2013, they signed a 5-year exclusive option agreement to develop and commercialize mRNA therapeutics for treatment of certain conditions, cardiovascular, metabolic, renal diseases, etc. In 2013, October, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, that's DARPA, awarded them a grant for $24.6 million to research and develop its mRNA drug technology to fight infectious diseases and biological weapons. And there's, okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing. It goes on and on, but you always kind of have to follow the money, right? So in at that same time, there were supplements that were being sold, and I think some are still are, by the same company that was actually stemming from some of the names that came up in this Wikipedia article, but they were marketing them as health products for all the alternative people, you know, rebuild your RNA, you know, ascend, and it directs.
I remember
Yeah, I had a couple of them on my show. Yeah, so I remember, I more than remember. And the people that were taking their products hired me to restore their health. And that's all, you know, I'm not going to obviously talk about that, but somebody in charge of a multi-billion dollar industry with that many millions of research behind you, and they literally were in those high numbers. Like, you don't come to a health coach like me. You know what I mean? But there's some weird things, because you said you remember the supplements, the advertisements were all over alternative media. Yeah. And I was specifically told.
It made me queasy thinking about it. And the reason is it is so easy to incorporate foreign DNA into your being, just because most of the cells in our body are foreign anyway. If you look at the gut biome, it's all probiotics. You can change the molecular structure of a frog's heart by dipping the articles in a bath of bacteria. DNA and the RNA will incorporate into the heart. So it doesn't take a lot of exposure to have your DNA polluted.
Right. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you sorry. I think we're having a delay, so I am totally not trying to talk over you. I'm sorry we're having that delay, but okay.
That's okay.
All right, so a couple more things I do want to bring up. The same company, January 2015, announced that it had raised $450 million in new funding, but at this point had already raised $950 million. Also, that same month, they announced a license and collaboration agreement with Merck. Oh, I've heard that name before.
Nice.
For the discovery and development of vaccines against viral diseases, Merck made an upfront cash payment to Moderna of $50 million to commercialize 5 product candidates, as well as $50 million equity investment in Moderna. They went and launched a whole bunch of other stuff. Again, go read it yourself. But they were also, or are currently, working with them to release cancer vaccine or anti-cancer vaccine. So they're, multiple different types of cancer. And for
they're doing vaccines for everything.
They got a $200 million.
They're caused by vaccines.
Right. So they got another $200 million upfront payment to lead those efforts. So it's kind of interesting. Again, just follow the money. So all in all, do you think coronavirus is something that anyone has to fear?
No, I really don't. Not unless you're eating nothing but Cheetos and Doritos and drinking all these sodas and treating your body like shit.
I like Cheetos.
You don't need to worry about it. Seriously. silver, colloidal silver. It kills everything.
Right.
They know this, but they can't really patent it. They use it in bandages and other medicines. And I mean, they know that it works, but try to get a generator, a silver generator. It's going to be hard to get anything that will work. They're trying to illegalize homeopathy.
Right.
Oh, come on. It's been around for centuries, you know. They're going to make it very difficult. Codex Alimentarius, I was studying that.
Dude, you read my mind.
They were going to make vitamins illegal.
Right.
Not illegal, just impossibly expensive.
From a pharmacy. You know, and they're already doing that in some parts of Europe.
Yeah.
So there are things that we can get now that they can't get, but there's also things that we cannot get now that we used to get. So just like Agenda 21, you know, of course, they're going to go there and maybe they'll change the name from Codex to something else. But I'm so glad you brought that up, because when you started talking, I'm like, Codex, nobody ever talks about that anymore. And then you said it, but it's absolutely happening, you know, just because these changes don't take place overnight. They do take place. It's... So
How many places is it illegal to even grow food in your front yard? You can't.
Right.
You've got to have a lawn, or try to live off grid anywhere. It's becoming hard.
Right. Or collecting rainwater that falls on your property.
Rainwater. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
or composting
toilets. I can understand that, since all the weather is manufactured anyway. So
off grid was
legal, right? To it, right?
Building anything off-grid was made illegal in Florida several years ago, like after I left, or maybe it was the same year. Yeah, so only properties that are, like, already grandfathered in. But, you know, they're doing that in California. They want everybody connected to the grid that they can shut down and do anytime they want. So I think the best plan of attack that everyone can have is to be the least dependent on anyone as possible. And dependency, if we really take a moment to think of how dependent we are in so many areas, it's kind of scary and stifling, at least for me. Like, how many people really can feed themselves or make their own medicine or source their own clean water? And that's just the basics. Never mind shelter, clothing, everything, even herbs. Even if you are, you know, pretty adept off-grid lifestyle or growing your own food, you know what? I need my damn herbs. I need my salt, right? I love my sea salt, but I can't source my own, right? So we're all dependent to varying degrees. So the less dependent we can become, and, you know, that also brings into, I've heard talk that, you know, you mentioned the possibility of mandatory vaccines that, by the way, both presidential candidates have suggested that they are behind, but there was talk about them being required to, like, renew a driver's license or to get your benefits, like for people who rely on government benefits to survive, that they will be forced. Wow.
Yeah. It's already happening. I know in Australia they're starting to roll out draconian laws like that. In Brazil, I think it is, you can't get a passport or driver's license without getting your vaccinations. Mandate it for the children. Yeah, it's already happening. We've already got the real ID here in Texas, biometrics. The solutions are going to be simple. Everything is so complicated when it has anything to do with any government. But you remember Dr. Batman Galley in Iran, who cured half the prison population with nothing but salt and water?
Right.
You know? The solution is going to be simple. Always. They're going to put the fear of God in all of us. And Okay, get your mRNA, and it's and your carbon 60 or whatever, your C60, and no. You know, even the vitamins are a little convoluted, but at least right now they're accessible, and as long as you keep them stored correctly, they'll last for a long time.
Right.
The vitamin D I've been using is 12 years old and it still worked.
Wow.
You know, it's because I kept it in a closet in a climate-controlled environment. And so stock up now, you know.
Right.
It's cheap. Vitamin C, vitamin D, plant dandelions.
Right.
Plant some weeds.
Definitely. Or at least don't kill them.
Water.
Yeah, at least don't kill them, you know. Even if you don't want to stock up on them, don't kill them. And... Really?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Did you hear that, was it California? Oh my gosh, I can't remember the state, but it was California. The power company has decided that they're going to go inject your trees, your yard, at the roots of the trees, with some toxin, some substance, some chemical that is designed to halt the growth of the tree by 70% in 4 years. And you do have an option to opt out if you know about it, but when your neighbors and everybody else is doing that, yeah, so they're claiming that's going to save them labor because they don't have to go out and cut the trees now to protect the line. So we have more poison being injected in our yards.
Although our county sprays glyphosate, and you can tell because the trees aren't trimmed. They're just brown on the street side. Yeah. So even if you're trying to...
Right.
Garden organically, there's going to be runoff of that crap everywhere.
It's, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just lazy.
Wow. Okay, so on the chat it says starting October 1, 2020, every air traveler will need a real ID compliant license or other acceptable form, such as a passport, passport card, military card, or DHS trusted traveler card, Nexus Sentry, etc., for domestic air travel.
Domestic, oof. Yeah.
All right, so here's a good question that just came up. This is great. He says, and you know what? We can base this on shows I did years ago when you brought up Pasteur and the HIV virus. It's never been isolated according to their own rules. So I love this question. Mm-hmm. Random Death Meddler, he asked, are these viruses even real? Why is it that illustrations of the virus is what's always shown to us? Has anyone on Earth ever photographed any virus at all?
Actually, I believe it was Royal Raymond Rife who did. Was it Rife or was it Tesla? I can't remember. Back at the, you know, the early 1900s, there were so many inventions that were rolled out and stifled. I mean, we could have had free energy by now. And they actually could detect the viral particles. It was a microscope that was destroyed. I guess it was this.
Destroyed?
One of those two. Yeah, they destroyed the microscope. It was a microscope where they could actually observe the viral particles in live cells so that they could see what it was doing. Yeah, so they have been photographed and prions and all that. They have, but they're made out to be a lot more than they really are. Most of them are benign, neutral, or even beneficial. It's when we destroy the gut biome that they start mutating and doing what they're supposed to do, decompose us. So if you're really acidic, and this was proven by Anton Beauchamp back in 1908 or 1903, way, way, way back then. And he proved it. So, yeah, that was bacterial. They didn't really have a microscope strong enough to see the viral particles until the 1920s. So it was after World War I.
All right.
I've actually, you know, seen them under a microscope in my biology high school class. So, yeah.
Okay, so someone has somewhere.
Very powerful microscope for the whole class.
So someone has somewhere, but maybe not all of the ones that we are told about. I think that sounds fair enough. But, yeah, what's the Montour, Luke Montier, or whatever, that supposedly isolated the virus? I mean, he didn't, the HIV virus, so... At this point in time, like, who really knows what we can actually believe outside of our own direct experience? So, I mean, it's nice to know what they say, but, you know, the whole thing, even when it comes to flat Earth or anything, we can't prove or really disprove any of these things, whether the viruses are real or whether they're not. We just simply don't have the diagnostics or the microscopes and, you know, the lab requirements to do so. So unfortunately, we have to trust what other people tell us or don't trust it. But yeah, it's hard to talk about.
Everything I ever learned in school or church or right. anywhere is wrong. Yeah, exactly. You know, the article that that John Rappaport wrote this morning saying, okay, there's bodies in the street. Does that mean it's coronavirus? No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. And you're right. Unless we're there, even we can't even trust our eyes half the time.
Okay. So I want to ask you, I don't know if you saw any of the links that I put in the show promo and on Facebook that I kind of wanted to talk about. So in this, you know, may or may not be related, but back in 2010, I know this for a fact, but I cannot remember the name of the documentary, but there was a female some type of scientist that works with vaccines and strains of stuff. And she specifically talked about creating a zombie virus, but not the zombie virus stuff they're talking about out there right this second, but like actually turning people into zombies. She said, oh yeah, mixing rabies with the flu or, you know, and it was just a small part.
I do remember that.
Okay. What documentary was that in? Because I can't find it now.
I'm going to have to go back through all my notes and I'll shoot it to you when I do find it. But I do remember doing a talk about they were using rabies as a targeted medicine because it breached the blood-brain barrier.
Right.
Since rabies affects the brain and the neurology, they thought, well, we'll just harness it to usher in this medicine. And we can cure Alzheimer's with the rabies virus. But, yeah, I mean, they've been dicing and splicing for a while, so I didn't realize until I researched earlier, but if you think about it, this isn't our first go-round. They were splicing and dicing thousands of years ago.
Right. And that's why
it's documented in the Book of Jasher, which is an extra biblical book, but it's actually a history book. And they talk about it. I mean, who knows which Book of Jasher, but still it was written in the 1800s and they were talking about combining, insects with bacteria, with plants, with people, you know, with animals. And if you look at, the chimera that are, you know, like the Sphinx or Pan, the god Pan, you know, or the fish god, mermaids, whatever. I mean, it's been going on forever. And when they went to genetically modify spelt, which is probably the most ancient grain that they've traced the lineage of, they discovered that it had already been genetically modified.
Ah, all right.
Yeah. I mean, it was already, I mean, when they were starting to play around with this newfound toy of theirs, they said, let's play with spelt. Well, they discovered it was already genetically modified. In India, there's a desert that's full of molten glass. It only happens with exposure to radiation, like is it a nuclear bomb? So, you know, nothing about our history is as it was told. So, you know, who knows?
Wow.
All I know is that I can't live my life in fear. We've got tools.
Absolutely.
They're real simple. Nature, like you say, it heals all. So that's where we need to turn. We need to learn what we can about it. We need to learn to listen to the plants. I'm sure before all this radioactive extra man-made waves that we've got, that we could take a walk in nature and a plant would say, eat me. You know, we could hear it. It would talk to us. We could understand. And I know that I can go into a store and hold produce to my chest, and if it's genetically modified or doused with chemicals, it repels. You know, it's repelling to me. And I can tell when it's organic and healthy for me. And if I stop and listen and get quiet and get away from all the cell phones and tablets and blah, 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 that, you know, get these messages from what's good. The doctrine of signatures, you can look at a plant and it'll tell you what it's good for. Like mullein, love that stuff. You look at the vasculature of a mullein, it looks like your lungs. Well, guess what? It's awesome for the lungs. So the plant medicine, that's what we need to preserve, learn about, teach others. And, you know, eat your weeds.
Eat the weeds. That's right. So I'm also posting a couple links in the text chat. Do you know about the CDC disease detectives report about zombie outbreak? Are you aware of that and the training that they
vaguely
went through? And
No, but, you know, the zombie meme just won't die.
Well, again, just like they make the outbreak and, you know, other types of movies, I think they're kind of telling us something. And the fact that whoever that research scientist was that spoke openly about that, it disappeared. I can't find it anywhere. So
they'll make zombies out of animals. So,
they doing all these training if it isn't real? And why would the military, and specifically STRATCOM, train military people and civilians for these types of events? And there was even a video on the History Channel, which is on YouTube, that's one of the links that I added to the show post on Christy Aphrodite on Facebook. So, yeah, we can talk about all that another time, but it's kind of interesting. And then when, what's that one that they're preparing right here in Imperial College? Okay, here we go in London. This is in the Express UK. Let me stick this up in the text chat as well, and hope it lets me open the link all the way. But all of these links, again, if you're listening to the archive, just go to where you found the link or Christy Aphrodite, and you'll find all of these. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. Okay, I guess I have to accept cookies. Okay, so it's called Disease X. Why have scientists dedicated so much to prepare for a mystery disease? And this was published in December 2018. And again, I posted the link there. It's express.co.uk. I guess you can just go there and type in Disease X. But everybody's working on vaccines to heal every disease that vaccines caused. And they're actually creating vaccines for diseases that they haven't even named yet. What the heck?
Yeah, there's over 200 in the pipeline now, you know, and if they mandate it, we're going to have them all. People don't seem to understand that they are not, that there's no such thing as herd immunity, especially if these childhood vaccines only last 3 to 5 years. None of us are up to date.
If they even worked, right? Like, I mean, that's their story that, oh, these work, but they only work for 5 years. We don't even know if they actually work. And if they did, does it really work for 5 years? Like, there aren't even any studies, and they're completely immune to taking any responsibility for any damage that's caused, that, again, is cited in their own medical journals in our very own government database, the same government that is pushing the poisons that they told us is causing these diseases.
Well, and that's been since 1984 that they've been immune to any liability. And that's when the schedule just exploded.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I do hope that people get to check them out because they are super interesting. I'm having a little... I shouldn't have opened the link, though. This happened earlier. Now the computer's frozen. Frozen Moments, by the way. That is the name of my photography. So I'll try a different browser. Maybe that'll work. But I do have the P-Post open. But yeah, is there anything else that you feel is pertinent to share here tonight in regards to the topics we've discussed?
Well, I think we covered it pretty thoroughly. Of course, I'll probably think of some stuff when we hang up, and we'll just have to do another show.
Right. And, oh, you know what I wanted to ask you, though? Due to your business, your work, you are, again, in the medical field, and you get to see all sorts of real-life issues, babies dying, people getting sick, all of a sudden. So, and you do this like literally daily. So I guess
daily,
I want to ask,
years.
Yeah, can you share with us some recent...
I'm a medical editor, and I work for right now 6 different hospitals. And because, they're the same accounts, I can see a well child visit one day, edit that, that particular report. And then 2 days later, it'll be the same child in the ER with a reaction, and I see it time and time again. I will see where an elder person will come in with herpes zoster, shingles, and it's because they were exposed to their grandchild who had just gotten the chickenpox vaccine. I see MRSA, crazy amounts of MRSA, methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus. And I remember working for one hospital in New York one night. It was someone came in with an abscess and needed emergency surgery or they were going to lose a limb. And then 2 reports later, here comes someone else who needed emergency surgery. It was an obese woman who had MRSA in the fat folds of her belly and needed emergency surgery. And I swear, 3 reports later, another MRSA. And I'm like, oh, it's a pandemic. Let me check the news and see if there's anything about it. I mean, 3 reports in one night in the same hospital. It must be all over New York. No. It's actually, if you go on the news, there'll be reports locally, the MRSA. But these are iatrogenically caused infections. And what that means is that doctor caused it,
right.
Or the medicine caused it.
Iatrogenic disease, yeah.
So,
I'm so glad we've been hearing that term lately, though, because when I was suffering from it, I didn't know. I was made to think I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that the facts are out there that it is the drugs causing the diseases.
Mm-hmm. And don't get me started on oncology. I mean, especially since cell phones, I cannot tell you how many brain cancer reports I have to process. At least 3 a day, and it's always a glioblastoma or a postauricular, which means behind the ear, tumor. Where do you hold your phone?
What are the most?
That's where all the tumors are. Hmm?
What are the most common, say, preventable issues, SIDS or autism or any autoimmune things like that, arthritis? What's the an approximate percentage of preventable issues that result in harmful damage that you deal with?
Because I do every specialty for so many different locations, that would be really hard to say because I am you know, like one report will be a peds, the next will be an oncology, and next will be an operative report. So it's really hard to say. But what I do notice, especially with the cancers, is almost, I'd say 80% of the reports I do for oncology are for recurrences, which means the cancer was never cured in the first place,
right,
with the cutting and the poisoning and the burning. And it just, that blows my mind that there are so many recurrences. They will have stage zero, but let's give you one more dose of the chemo just to make sure, and then that patient will die from a complication. There are more complications from these screening procedures than the deaths of the disease they're screening for. For example, a colonoscopy.
Wow.
More people die from a perforated colon than do from colon cancer.
Wow.
Or the solution that they have to clean the cameras with, they can't use an autoclave, which is steam, because it's a camera, it'll melt. So they use a chemical to clean these cameras, and that chemical causes colon cancer. So mammograms, they cause breast cancer.
Wow. So the reports you deal with are, wow, they're just keeping them coming back.
Yeah.
How often do you see what is clear vaccine damage?
You know, they're not gonna even document it.
Right.
What I see is if it's a well child visit, I will make note, mental note. Okay, this child is getting caught up. Let me make a mental note. And if that ER visit comes through, I will go back through previous reports. Like, yep, I thought so. This child was vaccinated, and they've come in with seizures or sepsis or the explosion of child behavioral specialties. And every single report is the same. Oh, the child was born healthy. They met all their milestones, babbling appropriately, you know, crawling, sitting up, appropriate eye contact. And then at 15 to 18 months, started tiptoe walking and screaming inconsolably. And here's a drug for that, you know. You're having trouble in school. Well, it's up your Ritalin. And It's awful. That's what the behavioral specialists are for, and it's insane. I have been doing this since 1992, so almost 30 years. And I have always done hospital work, so it was every specialty, including peds, and I never had that many. You can see the trend.
Right.
And then with breast cancer, when cell phones came out, most breast cancers are in the outer quadrant of the breast where you apply your deodorant, your aluminum-containing deodorant, and the wires into the breast. Now I'm seeing bilateral breast cancer on the inner quadrants, which is where these silly women tuck their cell phones, you know, in the bra.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up deodorant. And since you did, I just want to say you can make your own super easy. Get some arrowroot, baking soda, and coconut oil. That is super simple. Or if you want to smell yummy, add some essential oils. And if you are sensitive to baking soda, you can replace that with clay. And get a white clay unless you want black deodorant, okay? And I'm like, it's just a little bit. Yeah. So you can replace the baking soda, if you don't like that, with a white clay and or DE, diatomaceous earth. So, yeah, stop putting those chemicals there. Not to mention, I mean, might as well talk about free the boobies, because so not only are you putting those chemicals right in your armpit after you're shaving it, right, and opening up the pores, okay, after you got out of the shower where it was nice and warm to open them up even more, right, and then put that in there, and then women are wearing bras, which are basically torture devices. And when you think about the breast, what is it full of? Basically, Sorry.
Lymph tissue.
Thank you. The lymphatic. Exactly. And the lymphatic system is essentially like the sewer system of your body. So when you're wearing these devices and squishing them together up in that same spot where you just put those known carcinogens, okay, the toxins that are now caught in your breast because of that device, they have nowhere to go. They're not flowing like the rest of it in your body. So, yeah, we got to look to bras too, but we'll definitely do a show about that.
Definitely. Because breast cancer, it's always been 1 in 7. 1 in 7 will get breast cancer. Well, 1 in 7 women don't die from breast cancer unless they go through the torture of chemo radiation.
Right.
And 80% of DCIS, the most common and least dangerous breast cancer, 80% will self-resolve. If you do nothing, they'll just go away. All you have to do is change your diet and free the boobies. Seriously.
Wow.
Let them breathe. Let them move. Let the lymph flow. Yeah, you're right.
All right. Yeah, so I want to, since you mentioned behavior, I just put an old quote in the text chat that I've said before and have on my blog, but it's by eugenicist Bertrand Russell, a Nobel Prize winner. He wrote that vaccinations filled with mercury and other brain damaging compounds would induce a chemical lobotomy. Diet injections and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable. And any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so.
Oh, and that was so long ago when he made that quote, and he foretold it, or he probably wrote the instructions how to do it.
Exactly.
Fluoride, oh man.
Well, fluoride, yeah. They knew in 1922 that it reduces your IQ. So, like, our government has a pattern of knowingly using the exact same biowarfare they warn against, or they warn you about, mm-hmm. right, against its people. And again, so in the beginning of the show, I brought up some of those definitions of terrorism by all the different agencies. And within these reports, and again, even on PubMed and other mainstream sources like that, FBI, Department of Justice, etc., they are literally telling us viruses created in labs, bioterrorism, killing plants, poisoning air, water. So I'm pretty sure the vaccines are working because people aren't seeing it, and the pills as well are not helping. I was a former pill popper. You know, I was in my pill popping prison doing what everybody told me to do, exactly like what is described in that quote. So we're there. Yeah. And I think our best protection is to build a life outside of that system where we are dependent upon a paycheck for them without injecting ourselves or all of those types of things. And really, parents, if you're not homeschooling, or, you know, come on. Like, as a single mother in a wheelchair, I found a way to do it. And it was not easy, and it was super scary, but what choice do we really have? And when you add it up, how much do you actually make working outside of the home? Well, now plant a garden, stop paying a babysitter or government-run daycare or sending your children off to prison camps. Stay home. Build something from home. Do your art. Teach your children. But when I add it up, I mean, that's when I left California. I added up my rent there. I added up how much I spend in daycare and how much money I was actually making It was better off to go to the country and find a place, grow food, and take responsibility for my children. There was a time where I became tired of saying, "Hey, babies, how was your day?" "Oh, great. Well, what'd you learn?" "Oh, Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves." I'm like, okay, wait a minute. So I'd have to sit him down and,
re-educate,
Right. So I got tired of that. And we kind of have to do that, because if you want to go to the places where they are requiring these vaccines, you can't blame the people requiring them. You're the one choosing to go there. So do your best to build a life outside of where they want you to be. And I think that really, besides the food and everything else we talked about, herbs, supplements, etc., that's honestly our best defense.
Yeah, we're going to just fight it out, though, because here in Texas, everywhere, I mean, people are moving here because... Oh, we got to get out of California, New York, and Florida, and Virginia, and blah, blah, blah.
Well, you have castle law.
Yeah.
So when they start doing those home inspections, like the World Health Organization announced today, like, wait, what? So everybody moved to Texas.
Yeah, well, it's happening. A lot of my friends from California are actually heading here, or Idaho, or Missouri, or anywhere but where they are, because it is so untenable. I was just getting ready to say that. They took the fluoride out of the water in my county, but look at all the drugs that have fluoride as a base. They really, really, really want us to have fluoride.
They took out the fluoride and added the fluoxetine.
Fluoxetine, Prozac, right? All these antibiotics with the fluoroquinolones, those are the worst. And those do more damage than anything. You have to have Rebecca on. She's a good source, too.
Definitely. So, have her. Well, I'm sure we'll connect. And she has to go to your house and pick up some yummy medicine. Mm-hmm. When do you have your special date?
Serum. I need to entice her out here. I really do.
Well, but, you do, because you have Clearum Serum.
She was damaged by the Cipro. Ciprofloxacin, anything with a flox in it, levofloxacin, those Avalox, those are all fluoride-based antibiotics, and they are the most dangerous. And talk about life-destroying. I mean, it's really hard to recover from any of that. I know it can be done. It just, it's supposed to stay clear of all that.
Yeah, it's not easy recovering, but it definitely is possible. And it's also not something that's going to happen overnight. It will take a minute. And myself, and all of my healing path has literally been public. Like, when I was doing shows on Truth Brigade Radio, I was in a wheelchair. That's when I was finally being educated myself that everything I learned in school was a total lie, and that's what was keeping me sick, and doctors, and, so I had to kind of quit going. Right. Yeah. So chemicals, aspartame, I lived off of that stuff because the government wouldn't let us have it, or they wouldn't put it on the shelves if it wasn't safe. So, I understand. So, all right. Oh, we got Casey in the house with his fro shizzle. So he brought up Prozac. He said Frozac. He's really good with the fro. So, okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about tonight? I know we've gone over time, and I reserved a couple minutes for me to read the pee party to kind of close.
No, I want to hear the pee party. Go for it.
You want to hear the pee party. All right. Everybody ready for the pee party? Okay. So this is totally true. I've been thinking about this for years. And if I can sum up healing in one big, easy, one-letter don't, right? That was the goal. So if you can avoid all of these words that start with a P, I think you will be the healthiest person for the rest of your life. And so here we go. Pills, penis, processed food, pharmaceuticals, pesticides, pollutants, police, programming, power plants, physicians, politics, parasites, puppets, players, pussy, peons, psychopaths, pastors, priests, prophylactics, pedophiles, psychiatrists, pharmacists, pap smears, pimps, prostitution, prison, pus, polyps, probes, pushers, parents, pandemics, prognosticators, Pedialyte, pretenders, publicists, prudes, Presbyterians, Protestants, Pentecostals, powers and principalities, phallic symbol worship, peeping toms, pasteurization, patriotism, progressives, puritans, peer pressure, petroleum, propane, perps, projections, peeps, presumptions, people-pleasing, pleasure-seeking, punishers, perfectionism, permissions, presumptions, permissions, pity, persecution, prosecution, pitfalls, Pollyannas, Pied Pipers, pyramid schemes, paparazzi, preservatives, paupers, pretension, procedures, PETA, prejudice, purgatory, promoters, preppers, posers, prosecutors, perineum cutting, pediatrics, poachers, prima donnas, perfectionists, pandemic, psyops, professors, pundits, peddlers, poison, pricks, petitions, partitions, penitentiaries, parole, probation, pridefulness, practitioners, pimples, perdition, perverts, poverty, plots, poontang, pork products, pig pens, Pepsi products, pole dancing professionals, public pools, planned protests, pride parades, preventative medical procedures, Planned Parenthood, protective services, public school, public TV, penis pumps, Peter Pan, pretty boys, puke, punks, party poopers, popes, professional sports, pubs, polarity, plastic surgery, phonies, puppy mills, pet shops, pulpit pounders, patronizers, provocateurs, paramilitary, pertussis, psoriasis, paralegal, pontificators, pompous a-holes, prigs, preachers, preppies, princesses, porn, pocket pool, parrots, philanthropists, pageants, piranhas, prep school, primetime, psychics, propaganda, patriarchy, Pizzagate, press patrols, and paranoia. And if you want, in the next show, you can ask me why I didn't include pain in the P list. But there it is. And I can't take full credit. Again, I started off with my list, and then it became a collaborative effort. People were throwing their words in the comments. So that is the existing list. And, yeah, can you argue any of that?
It's perfect.
So... Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that was fun. And thanks for hanging out late with us.
Oh, it was fun. We'll do it again soon, okay?
Definitely. All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks so much, Savannah. And I want to thank you all for joining us here tonight. ChristyAphrodite.com is the website. And again, check out the rest of the Ocelli Radio Network. That's at Ocelli.com.
Okay.
We have... What?
You can go stay away from polka, too.
Did I? That's funny. Okay, so yeah, we have all shows go to YouTube, TuneIn, Spotify, iHeart, Stitcher, Spreaker, etc., and you can get archives for all the guests over there. Ocelli.com. There's a TuneIn app. There's like an Apple and Player FM. So if, say, the streamer on Ocelli or ChristyAphrodite.com don't work, there's many other ways to listen. And yeah, so check out Chuck Ocelli, Aaron Franz, Age of Transitions, and Uncle, the podcast, Aaron and Uncle. And look, there's still peas coming up in the chat. Polka, Polypuck, Perfectly Preposterous, Peter Principal. Oh my, you know, I'm going to put it on the site, and anyone who wants to comment and add some more, we'll just see how big it gets and readdress this another time. So thank you all so much. The Christy Aphrodite Show is Monday through Thursday. I want to remind you all again, my house buying saga I may have dealt with a few peas in the process, but so I don't actually know if I'm going to be here next week right now or not, but you can find out by going to ChristyAphrodite.com. You can click on the Christy Aphrodite Show, check on upcoming shows, and all upcoming, all scheduled, confirmed upcoming shows will be listed there. Also, if you see on my YouTube channel that I have like a moving truck or keys or papers in my hand that I'm signing, then that would mean I'm going to be moving. So check that there, and then my Facebook, Christy Aphrodite, and then there's a Facebook group, Christy Aphrodite Show. All shows get posted there the day that I'm going to do them, so that's another way to kind of make sure that there will be a live show or not. But I'm scheduling them anyways, but I just can't guarantee right now that I will be here. But if I am here, then I'll be here. So I want to thank you again. It's been so fun. I love you, Savannah. And thank you all for choosing to spend your time with us tonight. We will see you next week. Good night.
This presidential election is brought to you by Diebold. You don't count because we don't count.
Brought to you by the Republican National Committee, along with the Democratic National Committee, which are wholly owned subsidiaries of Worldwide Globalist Bastards.
A reminder that this is the Voice of America broadcasting worldwide.
The end of Tangier Thrones.
Warning, warning, warning.
Uncle the Podcast.
The Ocelli Effect.
It's the Aphrodite.
Really.
Morgan's Policy Radio with Pierce Redman.
Ocelli.com.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I can tell you that that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be working. Before that, I was taking 2 or 3 days off to let it like heal up and then work some more. They can re-injure it. It's about 80% now, and I've been using it solid. It smells great, and it's a weird, you know, you put it on, and it kind of has a nice, I don't know what you put in it, but it feels really good. And it kind of almost has a warmness to it.
She actually made me this oil that actually within like 15 minutes my knee was tight, it was nice and loose, I was like jumping and like feeling, it was like feeling gravy. It's like it feels great. And it smells wonderful. Difflam is fantastic. Her oils, I'm telling you firsthand, Difflam works, her oils work.
This is Christy Aphrodite. I was in and out of the hospitals most of my life until I found out Mother Nature is smarter than man. My True Essence is the culmination of my experiences in learning to heal myself and the products I am proud to bring to you.
Don't cry, Mr. Glass Eye. We already know they ain't real tears. Don't cry, Mr. Glass Eye. They haven't seen you weep for many years. Don't sigh, Mrs. Blue Heart. We already know you're dead as hell. Don't sigh, that cold, cold heart. Everybody knows of you so well. 'Cause you're not real people. You don't have real love. You don't have feelings at all. You climb that steeple way up above. Such a long way, such a long, long way to fall. Such a long way, such a long, long way to fall. Such a long way, such a long, long way to fall. Don't laugh like the old clown. There is nothing happy in his mind. Don't smile here in my town. Do you think that all who see are blind? 'Cause you're not real people, you don't have real love. Don't have feelings at all. You climb that steeple way up above. Such a long way, such a long, long way to fall. Such a long way, such a long, long way to fall. Such a long way, such a long, long way to fall. Sounds like a place where the bees like to live. I wonder if we will get stung. Pay all the money and welcome it home. I know we're gonna get hung. It sounds like a game you can turn on your heat. Run for the train. Do we all really hate switches and things, turning them all off again? By playing around with their dangerous toys, all your options will die. One night you'll get home, the locks will be gone, and the system spits in your eyes. You have to update your new telephone. It cannot open the door. Take out our loan, buy our new phone. Ain't gonna tell you no more. Just do as we say and all will be well. You have to be wired to survive. You can't eat or drink, you can't turn on or think. No phone, and you can't be alive. By playing around with their dangerous toys, all of your options will die. One night you get home, the locks will be gone, and the system spits in your eye. We're your savior, your lifeline, now you must pay us. Your server is set to get rich. Have no fear, it's all our idea. Ha ha,